All right, how about a second emergency live of the day? A big, big day for the 49ers defensive line. They needed it. Of course, Keon White, the trade with the New England Patriots. Looking forward to meeting Keon in the 49ers building tomorrow. And after that, the 49ers decided to sign Cleland Farrell. Cleland Farrell, the former 49ers defensive lineman, former first-round draft pick out of Clemson. You know, when Cleland went down with an injury in that 2023 season, it was a big loss for the 49ers. Really hurt their run defense. There he is. Need to get this picture a little bit bigger up on the screen. Let's go here. Oops. There it is. That's much better. Cleland Farrell, 49ers edge rusher, sets a good edge against the run. He was available. The 49ers have added two names to the defensive line. And no, I do not think that they are done yet. I think that they're still hungry to make some more acquisitions along that defensive front. Maybe they can leave New Jersey. They're playing at the Meadowlands on Sunday against the New York Giants. Maybe they can leave there with either Kayvon Thibodeau or Will McDonald IV. Will McDonald, Brock Purdy's former teammate at Iowa State, plays for the Jets. I say that partially in jest for both of those guys. I'm not expecting San Francisco to get a defensive lineman in New Jersey, put him on the plane, and take him back to San Francisco quite literally. But the trade deadline's a week from now. It's on November 4th, and we'll be talking again at that time. We'll be talking a lot about trades before then. I'll have a nice big show on Keon White and what he can bring the 49ers tomorrow. I'm going to talk more about him tonight, obviously, in this show. But there's a very good chance that San Francisco's defensive line makes progress even beyond what we have seen so far over the course of the next week. And Will McDonald is a name that I would keep an eye on of the Jets. You can keep an eye on some of the Dolphins guys. For now, the 49ers have been able to bring in a player in Keon White, who's a lot like Charles Omenihu as far as contractual status. He's got 1 year left on his deal, rookie contract, didn't fit anymore where he played before, but has shown definite physical promise. Like Charles Omenihu, Keon White is a big edge rusher who will rush effectively from the inside when Chris Kocurek likes to run his swaps between the defensive ends and the defensive tackles. It's the type of versatility that the 49ers are really, truly looking for up front. But in Cleland Farrell, you bring in another body who I think is, you know, he's never been a great pass rusher. Ever since the Raiders drafted him in the first round of that 2018 season, he hasn't been a great pass rusher, but he is a rigid force against the run. And there's a reason why the 49ers really struggled against the Green Bay Packers to stop the run in the postseason of that Super Bowl year in 2023. And then they truly, mightily struggled against the Detroit Lions. And it was because this guy, Cleland Farrell, went down with an injury and he did not return in that season. So they had Chase Young that year. He came along midseason, but Chase was a disappointment when it came to defending the run for the 49ers in 2023. Cleland Farrell was able to get the job done. And whenever you can bring in good run stoppers, you set the table for others to rush the passer. We cannot forget that Bryce Huff is scheduled to return this season, and he's been a truly plus pass rusher for the 49ers. In fact, I should get the roster out so we can take a look at exactly how all these guys are going to fit. 90-man depth chart. This is going to be it's a 70-man depth chart at this point, but I have it as a 90-man because in the offseason, it's a 90-man situation. I keep track of this year-round. This is going to be the first look at where Keon White and Cleland Farrell are going to fit in for this San Francisco team. So first, Keon, I put his name in over here, but he's going to play on Sunday. Assuming that the trade goes through officially, he passes his physical, we should be able to meet him at the team facility tomorrow. I mean, the trade was agreed to today between the 49ers and the Patriots. There are a lot of nonstop flights between Boston and San Francisco. Multiple airlines operate those flights. I would expect Keon White to be in San Francisco ahead of practice tomorrow, especially since he gains 3 hours coming back to the West Coast. For now, I have him slotted way down here. I don't know if he's going to start for the 49ers in his very first game for them, but they do have a serious injury deficiency right now. We're waiting to see if Sam Okwuanu is ready to go for the 49ers on Sunday. He's currently day-to-day with an ankle injury, and I'll tell you, it didn't look good on Sunday in Houston. He was carted off the field. So if he is somehow able to go, then yes, Sam is probably going to start opposite Mykal Williams. But if Sam Okwuanu can't play for San Francisco, it is possible to see Keon White immediately slot in opposite Mykal Williams in the starting four for San Francisco. Pass rush package, Keon White opposite of Mykal Williams moves in for San Francisco instead of somebody like Jordan Elliott. I mean, right now, this is all such a work in progress for the 49ers because you can see so many guys hurt for San Francisco between Huff, Elliott, who also went down, and he's day-to-day this week as well. Yetur Gross-Matos, he's hurt right now with a hamstring injury. And, of course, Okwuanu with the ankle. That's four injuries on top of the big one, the fifth one, Nick Bosa. He's on injured reserve. But as guys start to get healthy, and the 49ers desperately needed bodies, that's what today was about, getting some bodies. But as guys start getting healthy for San Francisco, you can really start to see how this might work. And then you could also see where somebody like Will McDonald or even Kayvon Thibodeau, if the 49ers go and beat the Giants badly enough to convince them to sell, you could see where they would fit into this larger equation. I think the main thing to remember is that Mykal Williams is not a polished pass rusher at this early stage of his career. Mykal is great at pushing the pocket. He's a big edge. I mean, talking to some of the people with the Texans, they were impressed with Mykal Williams, but they know that he's not somebody that's going to come in and take over a game. Pass rushing, one-on-one, that's just not who Mykal is at this point. Maybe he develops into that. The 49ers were never expecting him to be that. Instead, they thought that Nick Bosa and Bryce Huff would take the edges in very important pass rushing situations. Obviously, you can mix things up and have Huff rush against the inside and have Bosa rush against the inside. But in general, Mykal was going to kick inside to rush against the interior. You want to give yourself more options. You want to be as adaptable as possible with any of the additions that you do make. And so with the first addition that the 49ers made, we said, okay, maybe they have a lower budget addition and they have a higher budget addition for this defensive line. The lower budget addition, Keon White, I mean, he fits all those parameters, right? 6-7 pick swap. It's not a big cost at all. He's only going to cost the 49ers about $772,000 this year. If you want to read all about the finances and some of the schematic fit, I think you should read on top of watching me talk about this, because this gets far into the weeds. This is up on the San Francisco Standard, but he's an adaptable guy. He has a higher pressure rate working against guards as an interior pass rusher than he does as an exterior edge rusher. And he's got the size to work on the inside as well at 285 pounds. This is bigger than most, even big edge rushers. Somebody like Bosa is checking in at about 270. So Keon White is 285. This adds more heft for the 49ers, which also means more versatility for San Francisco. The big comp here, and I put this in my article up on the Standard, is Charles Omenihu. I was talking about that earlier today. We're going to keep on talking about it now. Omenihu was on this team in 2021 and 2022. After Charles Omenihu left, the 49ers signed Cleveland Farrell for that 2023 season. And Farrell really reprised some of the productivity that they lost with Omenihu, and as far as setting the edge, as far as a bigger edge rusher can set the edge. Farrell did a really, really good job of that in 2023. That he was the 49ers kind of that piece that glued the run defense together so it wouldn't fall off of a cliff. Once he got hurt, even though they had Chase Young, even though they had Randy Gregory, those guys were pass rush forward players, and the 49ers didn't defend well at all throughout the postseason. I mean, the Detroit Lions almost ran them out of the building in the NFC Championship game. It's where everybody was talking about Chase Young's effort. I mean, it wasn't a good situation for the 49ers. They had an elite offense. They were able to play through it. They were able to come back against the Lions, and I thought that they played much better defensively against the run in the Super Bowl, but they still got beat in that Super Bowl. And then everything degraded in 2024. They started renovating this entire defensive line as they needed to renovate it because they were terrible against the run in 2024. Number 29 against the run that year. So they brought in a lot of run defense first guys, especially young guys. And I think there's a lot correlated there. But you want youth to be able to rally against the run. You, generally, teams that are getting a little bit too old, too long in the tooth, are not great against the run. And the 49ers wanted a little bit more hunger. I think they got more hunger. They got more youth. But the problem is that the veterans who were supposed to shepherd that youth along in Nick Bosa, Yetur Gross-Matos, and Bryce Huff all got hurt. Bosa's obviously the biggest deal, and it's also the longest-term injury. But you saw the bottom fall out of this defense when Huff and Yetur Gross-Matos were both also out for the 49ers against a mediocre Houston Texans offense. So you have to start bringing in the reinforcements. And, you know, this is a sign, and I think this sign should have been obvious, but if you're too plugged into the negativity of Twitter and the negativity of social media, maybe it wasn't as obvious. The 49ers are not rolling over this season. Today was a day where they added two veteran defensive linemen, including one that has, I think, a considerable ceiling in Keon White. He had 5 sacks a couple years ago before the regime change in New England, when he stopped really fitting what they were trying to do. It turned into a healthy scratch this year. But 5 sacks, second round pick, that was his second year in the NFL. And somebody like Cleveland Farrell, former first round pick, who's already done a good job for you. You had both of those guys in one day. You are definitely not rolling over and giving up on the 2025 season. I mean, it's as simple as that. You also had both of those guys a whole week before the trade deadline. It has been patently obvious that they've needed quite a bit along the defensive line because of all the injuries. You can't have the bottom fall out of this unit. And you still have 7 days to go to make other moves, which is why I can continue talking about Will McDonald, which is why I can continue talking about Kayvon Thibodeaux. The latter probably more of a pipe dream since the Giants don't want to trade for him. But again, the 49ers have a very, very unique opportunity to head into New York and beat the Giants so badly that the Giants reconsider their position. San Francisco can control its own trade deadline fate in a way. And there's a chance that Brock Purdy is returning for this game on Sunday in New York. So the stars really aligning for the next few days to be a lot of fun. Who's going to be out in New York? Who's going to be out at Finnerty's? I think I'm going to swing by Finnerty's, the San Francisco bar, which just reopened. It's right across the street from the Empire State Building. I'm be sure to make a swing through there. That, you know, Finnerty's, we'll consider that a New York institution. I was in a San Francisco institution just right now. In between videos, I made sure that I made it to the House of Prime Rib. This place has been there since 1949. And can you believe this is my first time at the House of Prime Rib? I got the King Arthur cut. That's the King Henry cut. Sorry, the King Henry cut at the House of Prime Rib. And it was awesome. And of course, there is a 49ers helmet. I couldn't tell who had signed it, but there is a 49ers helmet sitting right in the front door. So we go from San Francisco rooftop for our initial Keon White story to the House of Prime Rib, where they're doing a lot of good carving across the whole floor of the restaurant, to seeing the 49ers helmet and talking a little bit more about this big day of 49ers D-line acquisitions. Now, Trevis Gibson is now with the Carolina Panthers. And the reason that he's with the Panthers is because his practice squad elevation total ran out. You could only elevate a guy from the practice squad 3 times. They actually had Gibson play for them 4 times because they temporarily promoted him to the 53-man roster for the game against Atlanta, the game prior to this one. But they just didn't have the roster move to make this work. Gibson wasn't terribly productive for the 49ers. He only had 3 pressures in those 4 games, and I think a lot of people will remember the Baker Mayfield great escape that came against Bryce Huff and Trevis Gibson when they weren't able to bring him to the ground. So tough breakup on that one, especially for the 49ers. Gibson was a guy who in 2021 had 8.5 sacks, obviously past the prime of his career, did his best to bridge the gap for the 49ers, but they, with all the injuries now, they just needed a little bit more firepower. So they went ahead and they traded for Keon White, who should be able to give them that. Keon's going to give them inside rushing adaptability as well. We're going to take a look at his athletic score in a little bit. And Cleveland Farrell is a known commodity, went to Washington after he was with the 49ers, and is somebody that can, you know, I've been saying it the whole time. It is very, very important for the 49ers to keep the bottom from falling out of this defense. And I think that's exactly what a signing like Farrell's does. Farrell's going to be to the practice squad. So that's going to be into the old slot occupied by Trevis Gibson. And you're going to have three elevations available for Cleveland Farrell. So I would expect him to be up and in uniform for the 49ers game coming on Sunday. So I just added Cleveland Farrell to the 49ers roster. There's the helmet. Here comes the roster. This is what it's going to look like across the whole D-line room. And you know what? I think I'm going to slot Keon White into a more accurate spot. The thing about this, though, is that Cleveland Farrell is obviously, I would expect him to be ahead of Robert Beal Jr. on the pecking order. But since he's a practice squad guy and Beal's on the 53, I can't really reflect that on the spreadsheet here. But you could just know that for at least the next couple weeks, up to three times, they're going to be able to flex Cleveland Farrell up. Then if they want to keep him around after 3 weeks, they can always promote him to the 53-man roster. It's what they didn't do with Trevis Gibson. They let him walk and instead used Gibson's spot or potential spot on the 53 for Keon White, whom they traded for. Will Keon be ahead of Sam Okwuonu? I think so. I think that we could probably, you know, ultimately that if, I don't know right away if he's going to start in front of Sam Okwuonu if Sam is healthy, but I think ultimately, big picture, Keon White, second round pick, has more ability, more talent than somebody like Sam Okwuonu, who's been playing his ass off. You got to give Sam credit, but the 49ers have needed that outside in versatile piece. So that's where Keon is going to fit. Right now, if you look at the 49ers D end room, how are they going to line this up for this next game against the Giants? Mykal Williams is going to be one of the DNs. If Sam can't go, then the other three are probably Keon White, Robert Beal Jr., and Cleveland Farrell. I wouldn't expect them to make another move before this game. Probably going to come right before the deadline, although it is possible that they make another move before this game. It just it depends, but typically the busiest days of the week for trades are Monday and Tuesday. So hopefully you can start to get an idea of how this is all going to shake out. It's just almost comical how much pink injury shade we have on this depth chart. So it really gives a tough time to see who's going to slot in where. But they need four defensive ends up, and obviously Keon White and Cleveland Farrell are both players who can help the 49ers right now. Keon under contract through 2026. That was important to the 49ers to get some help in the future. You know, I keep on comparing it to Charles Omenihu, and I promised I'd show you guys this earlier. I was up on top of the skyscraper. We did a show from the roof, and one problem doing the show from the roof in the sunshine was that I tried to show you my laptop screen, but Mike said that it was impossible to see. So now I'm doing the show from the studio, and you can see exactly what the 49ers are getting with White. I said that Charles Omenihu was a good comp. I think that that was a good take. I mean, this is against defensive tackles. Both of these guys, and the reason I'm comparing them against defensive tackles is because both of these guys are considered to be bona fide interior rushers for the 49ers when working on passing downs. That is the Kaserik model, is moving these guys to work against guards with their athleticism. So we want to measure them athletically against guards. So green is good, red is below average, and obviously they're lighter than the standard defensive tackle, but they're heavier than the standard edge rusher. They're taller than defensive tackles, which you really like. You like that arm length, 34-inch arm length for White, not quite as long as Omenihu. Omenihu's 36-inch arms. I mean, that's truly elite from the Omenihu perspective. But White is stronger than Omenihu. So the arms are 2 inches shorter, but he put up 30 bench press reps at the NFL Combine in 2023. You're going to see this guy bull rush people. And I think that you might, you know, there was a great video of him bull rushing that came out a little bit earlier today. I don't know if I could share it. I think that it's a copyright issue because it comes from the NFL All 22 film, but I could sit back and describe it a little bit. It is a bull rush against the Eagles and Jordan Mailata that is super, super impressive. Mike, if I can show this, let me know and send it to me. That's only if Mike is available. Mike might not be available today. So if we can show it, then I'll show it, but I don't want to risk anything. I don't want to get this video copyrighted. It is just a steamrolling bull rush of Keon White against Jordan Mailata. And it reminded me that when they picked up Charles Omenihu for a similar price in 2021 for that edge rushing position, he hadn't done much for the Texans, but they got him for a sixth round pick. Charles very quickly developed a nice bull rush for the 49ers. I mean, he just backed Tyron Smith in that game against the Dallas Cowboys. It was the wild card round of 2021. That was still prime Tyron Smith for Dallas. And he just straight up backed Tyron Smith into the lap of Dak Prescott. And that was one of the turning points of that playoff win for the 49ers against the Cowboys. Because remember that Nick Bosa suffered a concussion in that game. So the 49ers had to win that game without Bosa, and they needed a pass rush from somebody else. And Charles Omenihu was the one who stepped up, and Charles Omenihu did it with some real, real length to strength. I mean, he would take those long arms and he would use them to leverage people. And if you can leverage Tyron Smith, then you're going to do well for yourself in this league. And Omenihu made a whole bunch of money from the Kansas City Chiefs after the 2022 season when he hit free agency. Well, Keon White may not have the same length of arms. They're still long. 34-inch arms are very, very long. But he's got a little bit more strength than Charles Omenihu. 30 bench press reps, typical with the shorter arms, right? With people like me, we got pretty long wingspans. The bench press is actually a little bit more challenging. But here, you've just got raw, compact power coming from Keon White. And then, of course, the explosion, very similar to Charles Omenihu's, all the way down from the 40-yard dash to the broad jump. The broad jump numbers are almost identical between these two guys. So I think when you see this, you should immediately understand, recognize what the 49ers are doing. Keon White was a player who missed a game due to illness earlier this year, apparently refused to talk to the media after, and then eventually devolved into a healthy scratch for the Patriots. Mike Vrabel is the new head coach there. And obviously Keon fit better with the previous regime than he fit with this one. One team's trash can be another team's treasure. I mean, we've seen it happen many times before, including in the case of Charles Omenihu. But the fact that the 49ers got both of these guys aboard in one day significantly improves their defensive line because they were rock bottom. I mean, and I wrote a lot about this up in the San Francisco Standard, and this is the article you should definitely go check out, why the 49ers traded for Keon White. And I talk about rock bottom, and I talk about the fact that they, you know, hit CJ Stroud twice all game. And the first time didn't come until 28 plus minutes into the game. And a mediocre Houston Texans offense looked alarmingly good. And it was because they couldn't get a pass rush. You know, the 49ers are in such an interesting position this year. Why? Well, let's take a look at the team efficiency charts. And let's chart the path forward for San Francisco. Because I'm not sure that we have really ever seen anything quite like what the 49ers have been delivering so far this season. And by that, I mean, take a look at where they are right here. They're right in the middle, and the defense is even a little bit below average. Here's their logo. So better offense, you're further to the right. Better defense, you're further up, right? The 2023 49ers, for example, when Cleveland Farrell was last with this football team, the 2023 49ers were up here. Like, I'm moving the cursor up in the corner, like way up here in the corner. That was an elite team. Like, there is no team in that part of this graph this year. That just shows you that things are a little bit more open in the NFL. What's been happening for the 49ers is that their offense has been treading water. They've been keeping it in the middle. Mac Jones is a middle-of-the-pack QB. I mean, he's ranked right at number 16 or so in the composite rankings. The offense is missing some guys, but it's been about average for the 49ers. The defense started off above average, but then they started losing all their players. And the defense has been sinking. And if the 49ers allow the defense to free fall, they will turn into the New York Giants. The New York Giants are who they're playing Sunday. The Giants just gave up two 100-yard rushers. That is very embarrassing in the NFL. So the 49ers can't have that. Like, they can't allow this defense to continue free falling. They have to find a way to stop the bleeding and keep their logo above this horizontal dotted line. Like, move it back up here, and then you set the table for Brock Purdy and company, Ricky Pearsall, maybe even Brandon Ayuk to return, and that can move your logo to the right. I think ultimately, if you've got your offensive guys back, Ben Bartsch replaces Connor Colby. That's been the big weakness on the offensive line. If you got your guys back, you could think of an offense that's in this tier. That's over there, not too far from the Bills and the Packers and the Chiefs. Like, Brock Purdy has been that good over the years, and the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan has been that good, and they've got some weapons. Then it's a question of just how much of this defensive efficiency can you salvage? Because if you can salvage, like, quite a bit of it, if you can get it up near the Chargers level, then even an offense that's, you know, not quite over here in the top four, top five, but that offense can contend. I think they're going to need a top five offense to be a true Super Bowl contender. But remember that the goal right now for the 49ers is just to make it through every week. They've got so many injuries that it's just like survive in advance. And I think at the end of the day, when we look at this in the big picture, if the 49ers can make the playoffs, it will be a huge win for the young players on their roster to get a playoff game under their belts in 2025. That's like baseline goal for the 49ers. You could shoot higher than that, but that's like the bottom limit of what San Francisco could be shooting for this year. Okay, so let's extend the thought process here. The 49ers are currently right in the middle of this graph, right? Average offense, about average defense based on the full body of work. Typically, if you're right in the middle, you are going to be a team with an equal amount of wins and losses. You're going to be a 500 team. The 49ers are not a 500 team. They're 5-3. They're a full game better than a graph like this might predict, which I think is significant in and of itself. It shows and really showcases the resilience that they've shown. It also illustrates they've had a very good special teams unit, because that's not put onto this graph. It is one of those things where, you know, like, look at the Texans, for example, on here. They just beat the 49ers, right? They're a tier ahead of the 49ers. They have a worse offense, but a better defense. The Texans are 3-4. They have a worse record than San Francisco. Look at the Chicago Bears. The Bears are right in the middle of this. And, you know, you go to the standings and you see Chicago at the second to last position of the division at 4-3. They're a win shy of San Francisco. Jacksonville's a team that beat the 49ers earlier this year. And Jacksonville is 4-3 at this point. And you can see their logo right next to San Francisco's on this efficiency chart. The Arizona Cardinals in the 49ers own division, you can see them behind the Bears and the 49ers with a very comparable efficiency profile as San Francisco. They're 2-5. So Arizona, arguably in a better spot than the 49ers, you can see the Cardinal beak right there, is 2-5, and the 49ers are 5-3. There's something to be said about that, about the wins that the 49ers have been able to stash in the bank, despite the fact that they've got a losing point differential this year. They're -4 in point differential. Whether you say that they've stolen the wins, or that they got lucky, or that they're gritty, or that it's some combination thereof, and I think it's some combination thereof, they have those wins to their name, and they have a relatively soft schedule moving forward. The 49ers are going to be favored in I would say six of the nine remaining games this year. All I see is Seattle, the Rams, and the Colts being favored over the 49ers. So combine those two things, the schedule and the wins that you've already notched, which say something about your football team. 11 wins is completely realistic for the 49ers. And you've got to start cooking if that's the case. This is professional sports. In a league of parity, that's an opportunity. So that's why you're active on this trade market. They have been for a while. And you're looking ahead to 2025 or 2026 and 2027. That's why you're looking for players like Keon White who are under contract, who fill really the same boxes as a lot of the rookie acquisitions that you made this offseason, except Keon's already registered a season with five sacks. He's already seen experience on the outside and then lined up on the inside. And it's kind of the two birds with one stone acquisition that you try to make for the present and the future that they did with Charles Omenihu back in 2021. Now they're doing it with White. And then they went to a more of a Band-Aid with Cleveland Farrell going to the practice squad with the other acquisition, but I don't think that they're done yet. So I'm really excited to see how this all plays out. I'm excited to hit the practice field tomorrow. I'm excited to answer some of your questions. It is a beautiful evening. The Dodgers did lose. So the World Series is now even at two games apiece. I will be going to watch the Warriors game as soon as I am done here. And I am just very, very excited to answer whatever you may have to ask. So let's go for it. I am wading into that comment section. Emailed me to buy me lunch in Houston. Disappointed didn't respond. I'm sorry, man. I got about 150 emails that I haven't read. It's very, very busy between family stuff and the season. I'm basically working 2.5 jobs. If I would have read your email, I would have responded. I appreciate you inviting me to lunch in Houston. Thank you very much. I appreciate the super chat. Maybe next time when I'm in town and I'm doing a better job checking the emails, but I think I need somebody checking them for me at this point. It just was very, very busy. So I do apologize. Houston isn't proven yet. Potential to poach players. What are you talking about? The Houston Texans who just beat the 49ers. I'll tell you what, I've spoke to a couple people with the Texans. They believe they have the best defense in football. I think they might be right. They think that they could still make a run at things moving forward. I think they might be right as well. If they could just manage the game offensively, that defense is really scary. So I don't think that the 49ers are going to be poaching players from the Houston Texans. Dave asked, did the 49ers get anyone else other than White? Yep, they got Cleveland Farrell. Cleveland Farrell adding some depth to the 49ers defensive line. Big addition for San Francisco. Every addition at this point is a big one for the 49ers. They are in a spot right now as a team where they just need bodies. And when you just need bodies up front, like you want to obviously tailor whatever you're getting to your system and how you're going to run this defense, but it could be really hard because you're dealing with either guys who are just coming off the street who there's a reason they haven't been signed, or you're trading with teams for players who have fallen out of favor and there's a reason they've fallen out of favor. So you have to be really, really careful and choosy. I think especially if you're using draft capital and a 6-7 pick swap, it's a very small amount of draft capital, but it's not nothing. You got to be really choosy about the guys that you're going for to make sure that they fit a specific vision. That's what the 49ers have been doing here for the past few weeks. And finally, deadline pressure starting to loom with the trade deadline coming up next week. And I think the 49ers have finally identified something that works for them in terms of the short-term, long-term. We'd gotten so many hints from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch that they wanted to make one of these Omenihu-like moves. And that's why we're talking a lot about it, right? We're talking a lot about the multi-year contract kind of move. You inherit a rookie deal of somebody who's still going to be under contract for 2026. The bigger question, and this is one that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are not going to talk about openly, nor should they, because this is strategy in the NFL. Do they want to take a mid-tier swing? They took a low-tier swing as far as the draft compensation, 6-7 pick swap over to for this trade that they just made with the New England Patriots. But do they want to do something where they're sending a third or a fourth round pick somewhere? That would be more of a Will McDonald type of move. You know, somebody like Jermaine Johnson, but the Jets have told him that they're not trading him. So we've talked about him. Kayvon Thibodeau, on the other hand, that would be an upper tier move. That might require a two. Would the 49ers be willing to do that? I would urge them to consider it. If I was running the 49ers, I would be aggressive with some of these trades because of their history at the pass rusher position. San Francisco, under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, has only drafted one plus edge rusher, and that was Nick Bosa in 2019. I've got the full list of edge rushers here. This is a great graphic to put up onto the screen as we're having this discussion. Got to grab this, toss it up here, and here we go. So the 49ers, over the years, Bosa was a draft pick, but I have collected every single edge rusher who has scored plus in pass rush productivity for the 49ers over the years. And out of those guys, only Nick Bosa is a draft pick. So they haven't been good at drafting edge rushers. They haven't taken all that many swings, actually, that high up in the draft. Drake Jackson was one of them, and that obviously didn't work out. So instead, this is such an important need in this sport. The 49ers have decided to go after these guys through other avenues, through the veteran acquisition avenue. D Ford, trade in that 2019 season, was productive when he was healthy. Kerry Hyder, free agent signing ahead of 2020, 8.5 sacks for the 49ers, essentially off the scrap heap, a former Chris Kocurek guy. Arden Key, 2021 free agent signing. They made it work for the former first round pick out of LSU. You know, another guy that's an outside in player, right? Arden Key was the original inside pass rusher in this 49ers system under Chris Kocurek. D Ford and Nick Bosa messed around with it, but they had a really designated, they call him a joker, the joker rusher, moving from the outside to the inside. That was Key in 2021, and then Charles Omenihu in 2021. They had two of those guys. Keep that in mind as I show you this team's roster right after this. Chase Young in 2023, Bryce Huff in 2025. Like, those are all plus edge rushers. All of those guys acquired through an avenue not named the NFL draft. And therefore, I urge the 49ers to trade, because I think that's that. Whatever their setup is draft-wise, whatever their philosophy is, whatever they look for, they have seen better success through trades and better success through free agent signings to complement Nick Bosa. Now they're going to be trying to complement Bryce Huff. They've seen better success outside of the draft. So if I'm the 49ers, I would not be afraid of losing draft capital to go after players who might fit. And if the New York Giants are saying, we don't want to trade Kayvon Thibodeau, well, every man has his price. At a certain price, I'm sure the New York Giants might be okay trading Kayvon Thibodeau. At a certain record, that might impact the price at which they're okay with trading him. So maybe the 49ers can push him down to 2-7. That's something that they entertain. You go to the New York Jets, they've said they're not trading Jermaine Johnson, but they haven't said that Will McDonald IV is off limits. That could be another spot that San Francisco turns. So it's a setup where you need at least, I think, three bodies with plus pass rush productivity scores to have a puncher's chance in some of these playoff games. If you want to look to see where the 49ers are at right now in terms of projection for the playoffs and above average players along that defensive line, could be my guest here. I'm going to color code the defensive linemen, the ones that are plus pass rushers. We're going to make them a certain color here because Bryce Huff is currently hurt. So let's make them yellow, okay? Bryce Huff is a plus pass rusher. There's one for the 49ers. Elliott is not. Givens is not. Mykal Williams is not. Sam Okwuanu's not. Alfred Collins is not. Like, all these guys bring something to the table, but it's mainly run defense, right? Khalil Davis is not, but Yetur Gross-Matos is a plus pass rusher. Good. All right, that's two. Keon White, the book is open on Keon White. He had five sacks two seasons ago, like last year, 2024. Keon White is somebody who has a pressure rate above 15% on the inside. If he follows the Charles Omenihu path, we can give him a yellow designation. So all of a sudden, you've got three guys there that can give you some juice. Now, I said at least three, and Keon White's a question mark. So right now, and Yetur Gross-Matos, we don't even know what his health status is going to be this year. So we can't pretend that the 49ers are all set after now. I think this just screams one more move for San Francisco. It's somebody established too, somebody who's already done it at a higher statistical level. That's why I go back to Kayvon Thibodeau. That's why I go back to somebody, I said Jermaine Johnson earlier, but we could say Will McDonald instead. I think that it's all a puzzle, and those are pieces or potential additions that are fairly obvious for the 49ers. So that's where I'm at with trade strategy for San Francisco. I hope it makes a lot of sense. I know that the Warriors have started now. Probably a lot of people wanting to watch the Warriors play at the moment. They're playing the Clippers tonight, right? So we're going to turn on the Warriors game in just a bit. But big day for the 49ers D-line. I'm going to answer some more questions, and then we can go watch some basketball. You say it's coming. Lynch is going to pull something off for now in the future. Well, he did with Keon White, and now he might be able to take a higher risk, bigger move. Do I think it's safe to say Hendrickson is out of the equation now? Not because of this move. Hendrickson would be out of the equation because of an injury concern. He's got the hip as we speak, and because the Bengals may not want to trade him. They're only a game out in the division. As bad as I think the Bengals are, I mean, we predicted that loss to the Jets. But as bad as they are, they don't seem to be willing to move Trey Hendrickson. I don't think it's smart. I still think there's a bigger move to be made if you're the 49ers. I'm just not sure who's going to be available and who's not. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau may not be available as well. It might end up being somebody like Will McDonald for the 49ers if they are able to make such a move. Armando wants to know about cap space. Well, Keon White's only going to cost the 49ers $772,000 this season. The contract is prorated. So you've already seen his original team, the New England Patriots, pay most of the contract. Cleveland Farrell is just going to be a practice squad deal, so that's only going to be a couple hundred thousand dollars on the year, maybe $300,000 as a vested veteran. But the call-ups for Cleveland Farrell obviously are going to be the saving grace for the 49ers as they need bodies in the short term. Carl Granderson might be a good fit. Not a bad thought from the New Orleans Saints. People saying they don't want Hendrickson because of the injury concerns, which I totally understand. A bag of chips for Keon White. It was a good deal from the 49ers from a business standpoint, that's for sure. Ryan asks, are you blaming the D too much? What chance does the defense have when they are on the field 25 of the first 30 minutes? Wait, you're acting as if the defense didn't have any control over the fact that they were on the field for 25 of the first 30 minutes. The last I checked, the defense was the one giving up all those first downs, committing the penalties, not generating a pass rush to allow the Texans to move the chains. Sure, they didn't get much help from the offense in that first half. The offense did better in the second half, but the defense, they did not execute their chances to get off the field. Like, the possession is everybody's fault. You can't just say that's the offense's fault. That's the defense's fault for not getting off the field. You know, I always look at these games as objectively as I can. And then what I do is I look at the expected points after the game. Pro Football Reference puts out the expected points. I'm going to try to find it here to share it onto the screen with you guys, because I put this up to begin the day on Monday. And I see if the expected points, which is a very objective way to take a look at how each phase of the game did, I see if those match what I kind of gathered watching the game. And I thought that I had found it, but I think that I... No, I found it. Here we go. Just got to get this up on the screen for you. So these are the expected points divisions for the 49ers against the Texans. The offense was minus 3.4. That's not good. It's a losing battle, but it's they lost about a field goal, minus 3.4. The special teams was awesome. Great punts that helped, that should have helped the defense. Plus 8 for the special teams. Look how bad the defense was for the 49ers on Sunday. Negative 21.5. Wish I could highlight that and circle it. That is an atrocious score for the defense. For perspective, the last two games of 2024, when the defense lost to the Detroit Lions and then lost to the Arizona Cardinals, negative 24 in both of those games. And we said that the bottom fell out of the unit and the 49ers fired people over that. So the defense was really damn bad on Sunday. In fact, and they were also facing the mediocre part of the Texans team. The offense for the Texans is not good. The Houston Texans defense is number one in the league. 49ers had a backup quarterback. They're playing QB2. They're playing without their wide receiver one, without their wide receiver two, against the number one defense in the league. And they played at minus 3.4. That's not terrible. They almost played it to a draw. They made some plays in the second half. The defense didn't make any plays all game. Even the play they made, D'Amador Lenore's pick, they waste it because he didn't slide down in time. So they couldn't kick a field goal at the end of the half. So that game was very, very clearly on the defense's plate when the majority of the fault is concerned. When I blame the defense, I also acknowledge they didn't have the horses to rush the passer. They also don't have Fred Warner. But those are things that need to be fixed. And when you talk about what needs to be fixed, well, the offense, which wasn't terrible when everything was said and done, especially given the circumstance with the QB2, they're going to get Brock Purdy back. They're going to get Ricky Pearsall back. They're probably going to get Brandon Ayuk back. You know who else is a huge return for the 49ers this week? Ben Bartsch. They're going to improve along the offensive line with better health. So those guys are going to come back for San Francisco. But the defense, they're not slated to get guys back, and the bottom fell out against the Texans. That's why you've got to make trades, and that's why we're seeing what we have seen for San Francisco. Why they traded for Keon White. This is the article up on the San Francisco Standard that you've got the nice picture, and you've got the headline. And then, of course, we talk about Cleland Farrell, if I could find the picture of Cleland Farrell. Well, we've got all this stuff. There he is. The signing to the 49ers practice squad. Good edge-setting defender for the 49ers. So hopefully it all makes sense. Big day of 49ers defensive line additions. And a nice day to hit the House of Prime Rib. Hey, it's a 49ers institution, as you'll tell by the 49ers helmet at the very end. Right here. The goal with this video was to go 49 minutes. That goal has been accomplished. We are now going to go watch some Warriors basketball. Enjoy Steph Curry while you still can. And tune in tomorrow. Hit that subscribe button. Go check out the article on the San Francisco Standard. But we'll be dropping a nice, concise video talking about some of these moves in the morning. Everybody take care.